People of God, our scripture reading this morning, first from the Hebrew Testament, from Psalm 67, and thereafter from the New Testament, from Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2, and then from 12 through 17. Now you will notice, if you have a Bible open, that there is a title to Psalm 67 called "The Nations Called to Praise God." And the theme of our sermon, and you will never guess why, is going for the gold. I can see you've guessed. Psalm 67 is a call to all nations currently gathered in Beijing to praise God. The psalmist wrote, "May God be gracious to us and bless us and make His face to shine upon us." And then comes the word Selah. Let me just explain to you, thousands of years ago, when this psalm was read or sung, now and then the choir master would put in the word Selah. What does it mean? Why do they do that? It means wait, pause, take a second, listen, think over, and then continue. That's the reason why it is written into this psalm, Selah, that your way may be known upon earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Selah. Let the people praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, has blessed us. And may God continue to bless us. Let all the ends of the earth revere Him. And then from Hebrews 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken His seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Verse 12, "And therefore lift your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Pursue peace with everyone and the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and through it may become defiled. See to it that no one becomes like Esau, an immoral and godless person, who sold his birthright for a single meal." You know that later, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no chance to repent, even though he sought the blessing with tears. Dear friends, it is our prayer at the end of our scripture reading that each and every one of us will have the moment of silence, the time to take all this in, to think it over, and to respond from deep inside. God's word is in the Bible, and it is our privilege to receive it and to act upon it. For precious 2 weeks, the world is turning much of its attention to the Olympic Games in Beijing in China. People across the world are watching their favorite sports, rooting for their favorite athletes, and enjoying the famed Olympic spirit. Late last night, the Jamaican Usain Bolt won the 100 meters in a record time, 9.69 seconds. that broke his 11-week-old world record of 9.72. Now, if you read what the newspapers say about this, the news headlines say that he could have been even faster had he not turned the end of the race into a carnival. The gun fired and both started moving straight down the track, and then after 80 meters, he began grooving to the crowd. His movements became as much boogie as sprint, with arms spread wide, then his right hand slapping his heart, a full body celebration of footwork like none before in the history of running. And he still broke the world record. Many of us followed the history in the making, watching the 23-year-old Michael Phelps fulfilling his great ideal to win 8 gold medals in his 8 races. But do you realize that a split second made all the difference? 1/100th of a second made the difference. Those who follow will know what I'm referring to. And in the process, he reached an almost impossible goal. The late night talk show hosts responded a bit differently. Jay Leno was a bit cynical about it all, and he quipped, "The official motto for the Olympics is one world, one dream, but restrictions apply. Tibet not included." So you see that while all these great things were happening, the world was moving at a tremendous pace. Russia invaded parts of Georgia. Across the world, there is suffering and pain and hunger and political uncertainty in many places. So much happened. There is so much division. The nations are so far apart and are drifting even further apart. But in spite of all the difficulties, distractions, and political undertones, people of peace everywhere shares the motto, the Olympic motto, one world, one dream. And do you know that that was also part of the vision of Jesus Christ? That one day people from all time and ages will bow before the cross and find salvation and discover the road to the heart of God through Jesus Christ. Olympic Games is nothing new. It existed for centuries. Actually, 2,000 years ago, in the time of the Apostle Paul, Olympic Games were already taking place. And if you read the Gospels, especially if you read the letters of the Apostle Paul, you will notice that there are images drawn from athletics turning up repeatedly in his writings. For example, in his first letter to the Corinthians, he asked, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize?" And then he advises his readers, "Run in such a way as to get the prize." So Paul's point is clear. If you are going to compete in the race of life, run then to win. And lessons from the sporting world have much to say about the Christian life. But do you know that victories are first won long before the Olympic Games started in Beijing? The victories that we witnessed were won not at the race itself, but during the time of preparation and practice. Paul puts it this way. He says, "Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. And then he says, therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. In other words, the final victory demands more than determination. It requires discipline. Now, the Apostle Paul long ago found the way to God in the life, in the sacrifice and the example of Jesus Christ. Because intertwined with your life's journey and mine is also our spiritual journey. Our spiritual journey is the process of how we are stumbling and struggling in the process of discovering our way to the heart of God. We're living in a time, and many of us can witness to that, where people are once again searching for truth. Hunt for inner tranquility and trying to understand the meaning in the confusing world of ours. And in the process, many people often discover that God is more than just church. God is more than just a Sunday routine. Finding true peace with and rest in God is a real experience. It is far more, my friends, than just cliches or formulas. So allow me, I do not do it often, but this morning to ask from this pulpit, how are you doing in your spiritual journey? Tell me, you need not do it out loud, but tell God in your heart, how are you doing? The question is direct and personal. Is your personal relationship with God still important in your life? Friends, I've noticed a difference since I first stood in a pulpit 43 years ago, in a different country, in a different language, different circumstances, that things are changing within the Church of Jesus Christ. We used to put all the emphasis on growing our churches. And in our times, we are discovering that it is not only about growth, but faith and religion is really about health, spiritual health, church health. Instead of only church building programs, the emphasis is more and more shifting to people building programs. People in churches seem to grow warmer through fellowship, deeper by following the example of Jesus Christ, and stronger through sincere worship, broader through its focused ministry, and larger when other people come in and are brought into the church. It is not about growth, it is about health, it's about the journey, it's about the spiritual journey. Now, the sporting world teaches us a clear-cut sense of direction and purpose. It's important to run a straight and intentional course. You can be a good athlete, but if you do not stay on course, the only way that you will find your way into the record books will be as a bad example. The person who has his or her life focused, who knows where he or she is going, is most likely to succeed. There is very little that a focused, disciplined person cannot accomplish. And that begs the question, what is the focus in your life? And I had to ask myself the question, because before I could put it from the pulpit this morning, What is my focus in life? What's your current purpose in life? To be driven by a great purpose means that we get rid of anything in life, says Paul, that would keep us from attaining the goal we have chosen. He wrote in our text from Hebrews, and listen to the tone of his voice, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. And then he concludes by saying, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. In short, we cannot focus on the race until we get rid of our selfishness and arrogance, our sloppiness and our pride. You can never run a race looking over your shoulder. Unfinished business, regrets, grievances, and hurt feelings are not helpful for the race of life. Get your eyes on the goal and get rid of anything that is slowing you down. Let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us. Put first things first. Do what Jesus teaches. And before everything else, to seek God's kingdom and God's righteousness. The Bible says everything else will fall into place. And you know, shortly before Paul passed away, in one of his final writings, he wrote these words. He said, I have finished the race. I've kept the faith. And he concludes his life. He found victory. He found joy. And he found peace. In life and death, the apostle belonged to God. And I know people in this church who truly, with all their hearts and all their lives, belong to God. Many of those who sat in these pews 6 years ago when I came here are no longer with us. They have become the quiet cloud of witnesses that the Bible refers to, urging us on, inspiring us to finish the race, to complete the journey, and to do it with victory, saying, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. So let us go then. Let us go in peace. And let us remember that our Olympics are still underway. Amen.
O Lord my God, sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall thou art. sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see, was grace that taught my heart to hear, and grace my fear. How great.